Good morning. 927. This is Jeff, and you're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 97.3 WHCO. Hope you had a good weekend talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. How are you doing this morning?
Doing very well, Jeff. Good morning. It's always nice to have a chance to come in here and talk a little bit about what's going on around Randolph County, what has happened over the last couple of weeks, and some of the events that are different or unique or a little bit out of the ordinary. So I always appreciate the opportunity to do it. Our hot weather's ending a little bit here, so I'm happy to see that drop off for a little bit.
Of course, I think they're talking some storms now in the middle of the week.
The Grand is in town, and I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but the Grand is back in town, and it's always nice to have them back. Tonight is their opening ceremonies, and I'll be out there. They always tell us to arrive at 6, and it seems like it never starts before 7:30. But I'm going to have the opportunity to be out there again and thank all the people associated with the ATA for, you know, coming to Randolph County and coming to Sparta, Illinois, and bringing in their sport, which is wonderful to watch. They're certainly more talented at it than I am.
Yeah.
I've tried it a few times, and those little things are hard to hit. But we have those in for the weekend. It's nice. I mean, for the week. It'll be all through this week here that we're in now and other events as well. And it's nice to have them back again for, I think this is year 17, if I'm not mistaken, but somewhere in that order.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick break here.
Sure thing.
And we will come back and talk more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. You're listening to The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. Again, talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And we're talking about the Grand. We'll get to that in a little bit. But there was another event over the weekend in Prairie du Rocher you wanted to talk about.
Yes, I had the opportunity to attend a Purple Heart ceremony down in Prairie du Rocher at the American Legion down there. It was a very wonderful event. And there were some dignitaries there on a Purple Heart issue. What it was, and you've maybe been through some of these towns where you see as you're going into town, you have the town name on the marquee, and then it says a Purple Heart City, one of those. Well, what that was is Prairie du Rocher and the American Legion, and a couple of individuals in the American Legion went in and did some studying on what it would take to have Prairie du Rocher a Purple Heart city. Well, actually, in their case, a village, Purple Heart Village. But they were successful and able to do that, and they actually became a Purple Heart Village back in May through passage of some resolutions with the board and through the organization that supports these. And there is actually an organization related to the Army and chartered by Congress that actually supports these. And so the Sunday, they had their formal dedication there at the American Legion in Prairie du Rocher, and they had a number of different dignitaries there from their regular local politicians, such as Senator Bryant, representatives from Dick Durbin's office, representatives from Senator Terry Duckworth's office. They had the commanding general of operations from Scott Air Force Base there. That's very much a dignitary. And I was happy to meet him and say hi and shake his hand and that sort of thing. And he spoke for a few minutes, and as well as the individual who commands the Purple Heart City operations for all of the state of Illinois. He was there in order to dedicate it. And then, of course, they went through and recognized all the Purple Heart recipients of the Prairie du Rocher area that they were able to identify. There were a number of men there in the program. I think there was 27 listed. I'm sure through the process they might have missed one or two, but they did. The Legion worked for, I think, 3 to 4 months to try to identify everyone in the area so that each one could be honored. And they received a certificate of appreciation from the general in the state of Illinois, as well as some from the other local dignitaries and politicians there. So they had a very nice event. It was very much of an honor to be there and to be able to see it. And I was only just a very small part of the process, but it gave me the opportunity to see all these people who have served as, you know, or their country and the armed forces for many years, and a number of the recipients, they were accepted by the family members or whatever, because you had Purple Heart recipients from World War II. There were KIA many years back. And so it was their family members and such accepting them. And it was nice to have that happen. It was a very good experience. And it's nice to see these types of honors being put out there for our soldiers and those who have served in the armed forces. And it was a very good ceremony. And there will be a number of them, I think, otherwise taking place around the state here, as this is the week recognizing many of those. And that's why that week was chosen. So they had an excellent ceremony. There will be quite a bit more of it coming out in the North County News. For those, I know it's not as popular on the Steelville and, you know, and Sparta side of things, but it's very much of an event for the Redbud, Prairie to Rocher area, Ellis Grove, and those areas down there. And North County News in Chester did a very good job of covering it, and I'm sure they're going to have a number of pictures, and they'll be listing all the individuals that were honored there that day.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see names of people from all over the county. So.
Oh, yes. They listed a number for the county. The American Legion put forth a very good effort in order to locate all of these. And they went through the history of the Purple Heart, which actually began with World War I. It wasn't as well known then, and it really got its complete start. It's a medal that is given across all branches of the service. It was originally for the Army, but they cover all branches of the service for those who are wounded or killed in action. And it's a recognition of that. And it's very nice to see, you know, to be able to honor all of those individuals that went through that. And of course, like I had mentioned, there was a number of them then from the World War II area. Of course, that was the large war when it took many people from many, you know, parts of our nation. There were also a number from the Vietnam era, and you kind of forget about that, but the Vietnam War has been over for almost 50 years plus, and so the individuals that were in it and the recipients of these medals are well up into their 70s, and we're all aging out. And there were a few from some of the other conflicts that were a little more current, but most of them were in the Vietnam era and the World War II era.
Right. So, that's something, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of people have served, but, you know, I mean, the ones that actually received, you know,
it's nice to recognize them. It's definitely nice to recognize the people who gave so much to support our freedoms.
Right. So, all right. So nice ceremony they had then this weekend.
Yes.
And we'll.
I wanted to take the opportunity to mention it because I was a part of it, and I was very proud to be there and to be able to witness it and see it.
Right.
It's very much so.
All right, so you mentioned at the beginning here the Grand American kicking off, I guess.
The Grand American kicks off this week. They've actually been in town for a couple of weeks. They had the youth shoot, which for the young people, which took place last week and even some the week before that. Mm-hmm. They've been here practicing and doing a number of things, but they formally kick off with all the competitions today, and they run through Saturday, which is, you know, 6 days from now. They run through that time period. And tonight is their opening ceremony, where they come together and recognize all the members of the board and all the different organizations that are around from the different areas. And they always tend to invite the local leaders. And so I'll have an opportunity to go out and to be a part of that this evening. And I look forward to doing that. It'll be probably around 7:30 when it kicks off. You never know exactly for sure. Depends on whatever one they can get everyone lined up for.
Right.
Because it takes a couple of hundred to get them all together and all the different board members and that sort of thing. So, and they honor and recognize their sponsors, et cetera. So that'll probably be around the 7 to 7:30 area right out there at the main grandstand in the operation. And that'll be the kickoff. And, of course, we look forward to having them here this week. Actually, over the weekend, it was Sunday, I believe, yesterday, actually, that I went out there and I was able to enjoy some Randolph County Farm Bureau homemade ice cream. And I always look forward to that.
We always talk to Allison about that when she's in here about the ice, asking her, you know, we got a new flavor this year?
Yeah, and she was actually out there working, and I said hi to her, and as well as the other Farm Bureau volunteers that go out and work there, and they had quite a bit of turnout. They're right there in the tent on the east side. They share a tent with the Butcher Block, which is also a very fine vendor from here in Sparta. Mm-hmm. And they have some wonderful food out there in terms of hamburgers, hot dogs, brats, you know, steak sandwiches, and all the different things. So they're a very popular stop, and them and the ice cream, I think, are probably the two most popular spots right there on the, what is the east side of the main building.
Mm-hmm.
The area where they have many of the warm-ups, many of the heats, you know, the different heats series and the practice sessions that take place there on the east side, that's where the camping's at. And then on the west side of the main building out there is where the final competitions and the grandstands are. But there on the east side, I think the Butcher Block and the Farm Bureau is pretty much the lead vendors right there for food and enjoyment. Even when I was there and there wasn't a tremendous amount going on, I think there was probably 25 people standing under the tent or sitting under the tent eating and enjoying the ice cream and the sandwiches from the Butcher Block.
Right. I know someone that works at the hotel, and so they see all these people that come in, and they had some the other day coming in from Australia. So, I mean, they come from all over the world.
I have heard there are teams here from Australia. There's teams here from Brazil. They had actually missed a year or two during the COVID and when you had all the different issues going on with that. They are back. There's a couple of teams here from the Mexico area. So the majority, of course, are here in the central United States. If you drive out through the parking lot and look around, you're going to see a lot of license plates, a lot of different states out there. But we also have the teams coming in from other parts of the world, and it really is a classic, and it's a very wonderful event. And I'm really happy that it's here in Randolph County supporting our economy, and we can help support them in their events.
Right. All right. I'll tell you what, we got another break here. Well, let's go ahead and throw that in. We'll come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. Got some time left this morning here talking with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And we were talking about the grand. Of course, that'll be going on this week and through, I guess, Saturday.
Yes.
And encourage people, you know, if you've never been out there,
if you've never had an opportunity to go out there and look around and just, you know, drive through the parking lot, get out, walk through the vendors, say hi to a few people. It's an education in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. So other things going on. I saw a picture in the paper here a while back of the artist rendering of the new bridge at Chester. It's kind of a unique, almost looks kind of out of place there, but
it's going to look a lot different than the one that has been there for the last 75 years. But in actuality, it'll be a Missouri Department of Transportation, a MoDOT bridge, and MoDOT actually had a meeting where they presented these renderings, and I attended that meeting. It was Wednesday a week ago, so basically 10 days ago from now, and they had updates on their proposed timelines and how they expected everything to go. And at that point in time, they were talking about actually physically beginning work, you know, starting with the shovels on about the 1st of September. They're still projecting an end date of approximately December 26th, which is really only 3 years and a few months from now. Mm-hmm. Which is not very much time to do what they're talking about doing. So it's going to be moving very quickly. They were waiting on a couple of final permits from Illinois. I'm not sure which one it was, but a couple of permits to begin. But since that time period, they've actually begun their laydown yard out there where they will stage their equipment and their equipment materials. They've actually hauled in, I think, roughly 2,000 tons of rock that is basically located right under the old bridge, so it's very difficult to see it. It's right under the old bridge on the Missouri side between the Mississippi River and the Horseshoe Creek Bridge there. There's about 150 yards when you get off the one, then you hit the second bridge, and then after you hit the second one, then you go through the levee. So they're working right in under there with their laydown yard and their staging areas where they're going to begin, so it keeps it out of the way of where they're going to actually start at. And they'll have to move quite a bit of dirt there on the Missouri side in order to build in their approach and ramps and that sort of thing, which will take care of. But the real work will be those three main towers that hold the bridge up. And one of those is what they call a wet pier, so it's meaning it's out in the river. It's mm-hmm. not quite the middle of the river. It's to the Missouri side a little bit, but basically it's well out there in the river. And putting that in is a very difficult process because obviously you have to work out there on barges. You have to drive pilings and create cofferdams around it, pump the water out so you can bore down into the bedrock and start your piers and bring it up to get it above the water. So it's going to take quite a bit of time to build that. Then they have one on the Illinois side, which you might call partially wet. Depending on how high the river is, it might be wet. If the river's down, it won't be. Mm-hmm. And then the final one to the far southwest is actually dry. It sets out there on the ground. So it's fairly straightforward to put in that one, so that'll make it easier. But building those three main towers is going to take the majority of the work before they can actually begin it. And then, of course, the dirt work and the smaller areas that cover the Horseshoe Creek back there and getting over the levee. Mm-hmm. And then it comes right back into and folds back onto the main road just about in the middle between those two gas stations.
So you'll be, once you get across, you'll be coming out about the same place.
But it's pretty much exactly the same spot. It just moved by a few feet as it goes through there. But then it kind of swings a little further to the northwest, then circles around, then comes back in and comes back in on the Illinois side right beside the existing bridge, just a couple of feet apart from it. So it's a very nice design. The bidding came in very well. I look forward to seeing it there. It's extremely important, obviously, to the economies of both Randolph County as well as Perry County, Missouri. It's very important to their economy as well. Many people use that bridge, and so it's nice to see it being rebuilt. That's the type of infrastructure that prepares the area for long-term prosperity and growth. Mm. When you don't have those things, it just makes it very difficult to have anything else to go along with it.
All right. A lot of people in this area will travel the bridge over to Perryville. People from Perryville come over into Southern
Illinois. All the time. So. It takes place continually every day. Mm. Thousands of people use it every day, so it's very important to the economy.
Plus, like you mentioned, the factories over there, the Gilster plant, that, I mean, the workers trying to get over there. Yeah, I mean, if that bridge weren't there, it would be basically impossible. I mean,
and we saw that during the flooded times, mm-hmm. when it was closed. It makes economy very difficult. Also on public roads, I'll mention a little bit that the state of Illinois is working on Route 3 there north of Ellis Grove, south of Evansville, over the Nine Mile Creek Bridge. That bridge has had trouble going underwater during high water times, and of course it's getting very old, and so that is going to be rebuilt just to the south. The northeast side of the existing bridge. They'll build off to the northeast side of it for the new one. They've actually begun drilling their piers and associated foundations for that particular bridge. So that's well underway, as well as rerouting the road just a little bit to the side of where it's at now and raising it, so we won't have those high water issues. So I look forward to that as that project. Those are the two main ones taking place right now in Randolph County.
Right. I noticed where some of the culverts out here on Highway 18 have been put in.
Oh, I didn't mention Highway 18. Yes, we've replaced all the culverts on Highway 18 for that resurfacing job and patched in so the road's not as rough. And right now, where everything is off during the Grand, and once the Grand is finished towards the last week or so of August, then they will go back out there and do the necessary milling and scarifying, and then we'll then begin the resurfacing project. And it should be wrapped up by the end of October with a little luck. That resurfacing of County Highway 18 from Route 4 on through the S-curve there, and I think it's called the Jardin Grove Cemetery Road right in that area, we've needed that for a number of years. We finally got that off the wish list and moving forward, and I'm happy to have that taking place this year as well.
Okay. Got a little over a minute left or whatever. Care center issue?
Yes. We had pre-bid meetings at the care center last week where the different contractors are related to the HVAC, and those projects, we attended those. As that process is moving forward, we have to get the wells bored and figure out exactly how we're going to do those projects before we begin the parking lot. The parking lot and rear entrances have to be in place, obviously, before we begin inside refurbishing, because we have, as you work on the inside, you have to relocate residents there from one area to another so you can do the necessary repairs. So that is all moving forward and doing quite well. Looking forward to it. We'll have another meeting with contract and bidders Wednesday of next week, a week from this Wednesday, basically 10 days from now is the next scheduled meeting where I'll be involved in it. We'll be discussing the different aspects of it.
Okay, so things moving right along then.
Yes, everything is doing well, and we had a board meeting on Friday, and many of these were discussed. That's Friday, 3 days ago, and we discussed these particular issues. It was kind of a quiet session. There wasn't a tremendous amount on the agenda, but we discussed the bridge and a number of those aspects with the different individuals that were there.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds like we're out of time, but Commissioner Holder, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. I always enjoy the opportunity.
All right. That'll wrap things up here. We will talk to you again tomorrow on The People Speak. Have a great day.